Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Super excited to be with you. And back by popular demand, I have a very special guest for you. We got a lot of good feedback when our guest appeared recently on the program, so we brought him back. Robert Mazur is the president of Chase & Associates, an investigative agency that works with law firms and corporations in the United States. He also wrote the book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And the website is theinfiltrator.com, and you got to put a hyphen between the and infiltrator. Welcome, Robert.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being invited back.
I'm so glad to have you on the program. We got a lot of great feedback from our listeners on your last interview with us, and you've got some very, well, there's a couple of things. You could tell I'm kind of bubbling up here. There's some very relevant news that just broke across the internet and in the paper about a bank that just got a huge fine for doing bad things. And that's, of course, what you are very familiar with, unfortunately, is bad things that happen in your 27 years as a special agent for the IRS Criminal Investigation Division and the Customs Service and Drug Enforcement Agency.
That's true. And really, that was the focus of a lot of the work that I got the opportunity to do. We were going after the not just the hierarchy of the Medellin cartel, but also the money launderers, the professionals who service them. And as we've seen now, I saw then firsthand dealing in the underworld in an undercover capacity, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at times, where I was dealing with a new, totally new identity, verifiable and working within real operating businesses and seen by them as being a mob-connected money launderer. And I got the opportunity to deal with the senior management of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, then the seventh largest bank in a privately held bank in the world, and got to record hundreds of conversations with senior bank officials unequivocally documenting the fact that they knowingly and intentionally were laundering drug proceeds. One of the things that they professed after their conviction was that they really weren't doing anything different than the rest of what the rest of the international banking community was doing. They were providing services to what they called flight capital, money seeking secrecy from governments, and using a skill set in order to do that. And this money seeking secrecy from governments not only comes from drug trafficking, but money laundering. It comes from tax evasion, the evasion of customs duties. It comes from the pilfering of treasuries. It also comes from dealing with sanctioned nations. People who want to do that do need that same type of secrecy and lack of transparency when it comes to the movement of their funds. And when we look at today's news, as you point out, the most recent one is Standard Chartered Bank that was dealing in U.S. dollar accounts that were being used to move a total of $250 billion to the benefit of the sanctioned nation of Iran.
Thanks for we go to all this trouble and deal with all the political fallout of pushing for the sanctions, and you have a bank go right behind us and screw it up.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, they're not the first ones to be found to have done this. In the last couple of years, there is quite a list of major banks that have been caught doing the same thing. In January of 2009, Lloyds Bank entered into a deferred prosecution, which to me is a legal term for slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
They admit that they committed a criminal offense. They say they're not going to do it anymore. They let the government monitor their transactions for a year, and after they pay a fine, they walk away from it. But and as Lloyds did in that circumstance, they paid $350 million for doing the exact same thing that Standard Chartered Bank has now been discovered to do.
You know what's interesting to me, Robert, and if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, we have Robert Mazur, who is the president of Chase Associates. He's written the book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. Say that 10 times fast. The website is theinfiltrator.com, but you need a hyphen between the and infiltrator to get to the right website. You know, the thing that strikes me really interesting, Robert, is that when you see these news break and you see Standard Chartered, you know, one of the latest, who they've agreed to pay, and this is where the context I think is important, and you can shed this on for our listeners. They've agreed to pay $340 million to settle allegations that they hid transactions with Iran from regulars, blah, blah, blah. But they moved and handled $250 billion. So Is the fine really, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is, do they make a lot more than $340 million handling that kind of money?
There's no doubt in my mind that they do. And, you know, you can apply that same thinking to what happened with Wachovia Bank. They paid a $160 million fine, admitting that they had gone after high-risk accounts that totaled $400 billion. $160 million was 2% of their profits that year. And we mentioned before about Lloyds Bank paying $350. There's four other major banks. Credit Suisse, that paid $536 million. ABN AMRO, the largest bank in Belgium, paid a $500 million fine. Barclays Bank, in August of 2010, paid a $298 million fine. And Ing, in June of this year, paid a $619 million fine. To me, it's a cost of doing business. And it's not the way, in the long run, that we're going to correct these types of problems.
You're so right, Robert. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Robert Mazur on the line with us. He's president of Chase & Associates, an investigative agency that works with law firms and U.S. corporations. But he's really, he's struck a nerve. He's got the website, theinfiltrator.com. Got to put a hyphen in there between the and infiltrator, because he wrote the book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And we've got some new news to talk about. We're going to do that right after a break. Stay right there.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just busting at the seams because I'm getting to talk to Robert Mazur, who he's got some great insight here on the show with us. He's written the book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. The website is theinfiltrator.com. Put a hyphen in between the two words to get to the right website. I'm excited to talk to Robert because he's really got the inside track. When you're undercover for as long as you were and working for our government in various capacities, you saw a lot of stuff. And I think the thing that's really, we'll get to your news in just a second, Robert. The thing that's really fascinating to me is we talked before the break about all these big numbers of fines, and it doesn't really seem to change behavior with these big institutions that are, you know, they're a person under the criminal law, which is why they're able to get away with this whole deferred prosecution, and they pay a fine, and you can regulate us, and you can monitor us, and we promise not to do it again. But us regular people who have not been exposed to this like you have and the training you've gone through, there's this massive underworld out there that we just don't know about.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable how the legitimate international banking and business community capitalizes on the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. Actually, the UN came out in the United Nations on Drugs and Crime, came out in October 2011. They tabbed, and I think fairly accurately, the underworld proceeds. This comes from all types of illegal activity, including tax evasion, illegal gambling, prostitution, drug trafficking, at $2.1 trillion a year, and over $400 billion a year just from the sale of illegal drugs around the world. So there's a very, very big target out there that the internet, that certain segments of the international banking and business community are shooting for. The dramatic difference between, I think, what I had the opportunity and the privilege to do when I was a sworn officer working long-term undercover is I got to proactively get within the banking world as a part of that underworld, and I got to capture the conversations and what really was going on in the minds of the senior bank officers that were doing this. We've unfortunately gone away from that, and the Department of Justice, I think, really, instead of being proactive, are reactive to these types of problems. The first thing that they do when regulators begin to find these things is to initiate investigations to try to identify the history of what happened. It's so difficult to document the history of what the senior bank officers were thinking, what their motives were when they wound up doing these transactions. And it's so easy for them now to come up with plausible deniability.
Sure.
And dissuade people of the fact that they knew exactly what the source of this money was. But part of that problem comes from the Department of Justice not recognizing that. And I study this topic very, very closely. And I look also at what the heads of the Department of Justice have to say about these issues. And And I've got a transcript of a presentation that was made by Lanny Brewer, who is the chief of the criminal division. And some of the things that he said to me help us to understand why the government is dealing with it the way that they do. His comments are, when compliance officers don't do their job effectively, our first line of defense is breached. Well, that's just not the case. Because if you take the banking community that involved in illegal activity and compare it to this as an analogy, there's a business that runs locations along a river, and they put four factories upstream that create pollution, money laundering. They create pollution. And they put at the bottom of the river a factory that's supposed to clean the water when it comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this argument that, well, we're doing the best we can, but there's just so much dirty water. How can we possibly clean it?
We didn't have anything to do with it. You know the thing that you said earlier, Robert, about the size of the underground world and all this bad behavior? You said it was a little over $2 trillion, and that's a big number. Put it in perspective, that's the size of the economy of Germany. I mean, that's that's a huge number, and the regulators seem to be either, as you said, reacting instead of being proactive, or they're outgunned, outmanned, you know?
Yeah, I think both.
Wow. We're talking with Robert Mazur, who is our guest today on the program. He's written the book, The Infiltrator. The website is theinfiltrator.com. You got to put a hyphen in there between the and infiltrator. And the full name of the book, Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. Robert, we got to talk about the exciting news you have. You just shared with me before we started the program that your whole story, you've written the book, and your whole story now is going to be made into a movie.
Yeah, that's true. We've entered into an agreement with a number of entities, one of which, and I think the most important part of the formula, is a director who's attached himself to the project of the movie development from the book, a director by the name of Brad Furman, who has had a number of successes in the industry. His last fairly well-known film was The Lincoln Lawyer that Matthew McConaughey starred in, that came out last year.
Well, if Matthew's not available, you know, I've always wanted to play an FBI or undercover operative, so I'll see if I can clear my schedule for that.
I'll let them know.
I have done some TV, so I'm ready.
Okay.
No, that's exciting. And so I think that's where, you know, getting this out into the public domain, because again, you know, when our listeners are out there and they're listening to this program and they hear about, oh, well, here's another bank paying another fine. You can't trust Wall Street. You can't trust the big banks. You can't trust the big institutions. The government doesn't really look out for me. It seems so otherworldly and such big numbers that it just doesn't connect or click into our world.
I agree on that one as well. And you know, I've tried to write as much currently as I can on this topic to try to heighten the awareness of the pervasive problem that we have within the international banking community. I wrote an article actually 2 years ago that was in the New York Times just on this issue of what the international banks are doing and why the government should look so closely at what's called the bulk bank note business. Basically, that is buying currency outside the United States, buying and selling it, and in many cases, repatriating it back into the United States. And the reason that's so important is that drugs are not bought with credit cards. They're bought with cash. And
right.
I saw it firsthand. We used to pick up millions of dollars on a given day,
Wow. Just
one transaction at a time. I had one client who generated in 8 cities roughly $160 million every single month. And when you have those kind of numbers, what ultimately happens is the monies, in many instances, get smuggled outside the United States, and then they are brought back in, propped up behind businesses, foreign-based.
It's got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, you know, if you just follow the money backwards from the Federal Reserve and follow it back out to who's bringing it, and then follow that into the accounts, you're going to immediately identify the principal money laundering organizations that are in the United States. I've been writing about that for 2 years. That's one of the things that led to the HSBC discovery that was very heavily publicized, where this month their board member, their CEO, went before the Senate subcommittee, and a lot of evidence was released in a Senate subcommittee report. Your listeners, if they really want to see what's happening as far as the international banking community's involvement in the handling of this type of illegal money, just Google HSBC and Senate subcommittee report. You'll eventually find in one of those a link to the actual Senate subcommittee report. And it was tough for me to read. It's 300 pages long, and I've condensed that down into about 7 pages of notes. But it is a startling story about a terrible group of acts that were done, intentional acts, hiring people knowing they were incompetent to run your compliance department, falsifying records, bringing in their bulk cash business in a year was tabbed by the Federal Reserve, identified to be $300 billion a year.
Amazing.
An unbelievable amount of money. And at the end of the hearing, all we heard from the CEO is, "We will apologize and acknowledge these mistakes. These are not mistakes. These things don't happen by
No, it's not a mistake. It's done intentionally.
Absolutely.
Robert, we're going to take another quick break. We'll come right back. Stay right there, ladies and gentlemen.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. You're just joining us, or if you've been here the whole time, here he is again. It's Robert Mazur. He is the president of Chase & Associates. You can tell this is something I'm interested in talking about because I really enjoyed this conversation with Robert. TheInfiltrator.com is a website. Put a hyphen in there between the and infiltrator to get to the right website. The book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel, soon to be a movie. You're going to be a star, Robert.
Well, I won't be starring in it, but I am going to be. I had a great lawyer who was involved in negotiating this, so yeah. I will be an executive producer and involved in the actual formulation of this the story.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's important too that, and that's one of the reasons I thought Brad Furman was perfect for this, because when he did The Lincoln Lawyer, he did it very true to the book, and he's promised me that that's his intention, is to do the movie as true to the book as he possibly can, and that's really important to me, because that's the story I want the public to hear.
Well, and when you cash in and you make all this money, I know a financial planner that can help you.
Okay.
But what's really interesting, before the break, we were talking about these big institutions say, you know, we're sorry, mea culpa, our fault. You know, we made some mistakes. We've corrected it. We know who did this or that, and we're going to put in better compliance, and we'll pay the fine, and you guys regulate us, and let's all just move down the road.
That's
it seems to be a pattern, right?
Oh, yeah. It's clearly a pattern. I've got... You know, I wrote a paper that I submitted after making a presentation at Cambridge and in the UK, and it's on our website, the Chase & Associates website. There's a tab there on publications, some about me, and then there's a whole section on those that I've written. And I studied the various deferred prosecutions in over a dozen cases that have come out in the last 4 or 5 years, and they are identical. You know, you have a bank pays a huge fine, they admit guilt, but nobody goes to jail. And one of the cases where somebody actually did go to jail, and this is a sad commentary, is the UBS case, where UBS admitted that they entered into income tax conspiracies with U.S. citizens, opening 50,000 secret accounts to help them hide money from the U.S. government, making us all have to pay more taxes.
Right.
And that information was delivered to the government by a bank officer by the name of Birkenfield, who was the whistleblower, and it's Birkenfield who went to jail. Birkenfield went to jail because he was given an agreement, and the agreement was you've got to tell everything and you've got to tell it truthful. He left out one account holder in Los Angeles that he dealt with because he didn't want to give the guy up. Big mistake. The government then reneged violated the agreement, and so it wasn't good anymore, and they were able to use everything he had to say against him.
Wow.
And so he went to jail. So thus far, we've got a whistleblower who goes to jail, and we've got a lot of banks that pay a lot of money, and nobody seems to be personally responsible. But the last I checked, banks don't launder money. People launder money. And we need to account for, or the people who do that need to account for their conduct. Until we start hauling away people from the boardrooms in handcuffs, this is just going to continue.
No, they think they are well above the law, and the egos and the how strongly they feel that they are impervious to all this. The thing that also you know, that strikes me is these big fines being paid out or this bad conduct. You know, there's an old saying, if you do something bad with something little, what are you going to do with the big things? And so what does this all mean to the individual or the business who's trying to conduct business with a bank? Can they trust a bank? Are they better with the small community banks, the local bank, as opposed to either the national or the international bank? I'm a big fan of local banks. What do you tell my listeners about how they conduct their own personal finance with banks?
Well, you know, these banks that are involved in these types of transactions are international banks that are involved in cross-border transactions. It's very, very difficult for you to be able to exploit for illegal purposes the operations of a domestic bank, a local bank, because they just don't move the money across borders.
If
they did, it would be a huge, huge red flag. So, I do believe that if you want to try to avoid banks that get involved in this type of conduct, you are going to be better off staying away from the big international banks like HSBC and many of the others that have come to the list of shame in the last several years. But that's really the key, because the owners of this money, even though they're generating this money inside the United States, the owners of this money either have their money, their accounts that they want filled outside the U.S. because, let's say, they're involved in the ownership of drug proceeds, or they're trying to move their money across other borders to prohibited nations. And one way or the other, it's going to involve either an international bank or an international business.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Mazur has been our guest on the program, president of Chase & Associates, an investigative agency that serves as law firms and corporations in the United States. Author, TheInfiltrator.com. Put a hyphen in there, TheInfiltrator.com, but you need a hyphen between The and Infiltrator. And the book, soon-to-be movie, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. Robert, thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Okay.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.